She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree who copes with life by smoking too much weed, dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Marihuanera.
Let's actually, Madison Hernandez.
Yes.
Let's go back to the top of this conversation. We're already at the top. We're going to go back to the tippy top. You were just talking about smoking in the car because you're at your dad's house in Bakersfield. Let's start there and then work our way through.
So
I love that.
Where am I at right now? I'm sitting in my car. Parked in the very back of the yard by this huge cactus, because I can't smoke in the house. So he's cool with it though. Like, I'll text him, hey, I'm gonna be in my car to get lit, because like I want to normalize some other word for it. So
instead of getting high,
because getting high, it's like too, like, I don't know, I'd like to add some fun to it. Okay, let me see.
I agree with that. I've never thought of that angle on it, because sometimes I feel like I'm smoking cannabis, but I'm not necessarily getting high. Right. I'm just smoking weed.
I feel like I got a whole bowl. I'm smoking through the mota glass, of course.
Hell yeah. Repping.
Love the tallness of it. This one's beautiful. I only took one hit though. I was like, I think one hit's all I need right now. I have it on the ready though. So she's here, and that's why I wanted to stay in the car for that. Cause I was like, I'm pretty sure I want to smoke at some point during this too.
Oh, absolutely. And we welcome that here at Marihuanera, a podcast for podheads.
Okay.
And Madison, you're a longtime listener, first time guest.
Oh my God.
You've come to a bunch of events, a bunch of parties, a bunch of all kinds. We've been doing all kinds of events and parties for years, and you come to everything.
Yeah. Not everything, but yeah.
A lot of things. A lot of things.
Love out loud. I love to love out loud with y'all. Like, I want to see more. That's all. I'm just like, yeah. I'm going to see more by going. So
I love it. No, I appreciate it so much. And I know the event is going to be a fun event. If I see you there, if you show up, I'm like, okay, this is Madison. You're a good omen, a good sign of good things to come. So I'm like, okay, okay. Madison's here. We're going to be okay.
I love it. I love to hear it.
Cause you always bring the vibes. You always bring a cute outfit, always a cute fit, always a cute makeup look, always you're always like rhinestoned out. You got shadows, you've got eyeliners, and you just bring a vibe. Like, at whether it's like, okay, like there was a party at the Virgil and you just like are so comfortable just vibing out and dancing on your own and just creating a party in your own little peripheral. Like, it's great. You're great.
I feel like I definitely make myself my own little orbit. I'm such a little galaxy on my own. I love it. Yeah. All of the things you said, it's definitely part of it. Cause I'm just like, I love to say I'm a voyeur, but I'm definitely an exhibitionist in that way as well. I'm just like, please see me. So yeah, I love that you've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a whole mood. You're a mood.
Aww.
Totally. And not only that, you're doing some really important work in the community, in LA, in the cannabis space. You recently started a research position with the UCLA Labor Center for an upcoming report on cannabis worker experiences. And that's one of the reasons why you're on the show today, to talk about that research and a survey that you all are conducting.
Yes. So this has been I feel like this has been in the works since I first started bud tending in like 2018. One of the lead investigators for this project, Robert Chalala, he was doing something for his like PhD where it included getting like in-depth interviews with cannabis workers of that specific time in cannabis. Like 2018 was right before it was becoming fully recreational. And that all of that is like what goes into now, which is more of a quantity-based survey, which is like we're trying to get 1,500 workers to take this survey across California from San Diego all the way to the top. Because by getting like this large, like large data is easier to kind of make with like, how do I say? It's easier to, it's kind of like that thing when studies show like this will be that study because no other academic institution has done research like this before, because with cannabis schools are always getting federal, like they get grants and stuff, but because of that federal connection they could never give grants for something like cannabis. And then so the fact that UCLA has finally gone through all the red tape and has funded this is like so crazy. It's so amazing. I'm just like, oh my God, that means they want to know like where cannabis workers are right now, because it's such a pivotal time. It's such a pivotal time for that kind of labor. Yeah. 2023. Mm-hmm.
It's so true. There a lot has happened in the past few years in the cannabis industry. Maybe like back in 2017, maybe I did this docuseries with Me Too about Latinos in the cannabis industry. And something that stood out to me were the labor issues. And one kind of statistic that was shared, and I don't know if this is still true, maybe you can give us some insight on the state of this, but that like Latinas are actually overrepresented as bud tenders, and especially like at unlicensed facilities. And so there's all kinds of issues with working conditions and rights. So I'm like, well, I'm sure this plays exactly into what you're working on.
Yeah, literally, because even though like this research is very confidential, like it's different from the in-depth interviews he was doing where I was like, oh, please say my name. Like, I would love to be like, no, like this is my experience. This is more confidential. This is like on a large scale, what is happening, but we're still getting like demographic info. If people are okay with sharing or prefer not to say, you know, we do go over like, oh, what's like your, what's your gender? What's your race? Do you identify as like LGBTQIA? Cause those things and others definitely play a factor into like how you experience those spaces. I mean, yeah, you said it. The fact that Latinas are being like, I feel like that is just a parallel to what happens in like big agriculture too. Like, of course, Latinas, you know, because I think it's like, it's a vulnerable labor population, and spaces like this, because we're still developing all these regulations for it, it's so, or even in those regulated places, exactly, like it's kind of like it's a high risk but high reward sometimes too. Like that's a little bit of what the survey is too. Like, we're not assuming everything is bad. We do want to know about like what are the opportunities. Like, you know, these workers are in these positions because there's something keeping them there. That's been some of the interesting insights so far that I've gotten from people, but it's too soon to say, you know. That's what we're looking for, that big number.
You're still collecting data and hearing from people.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So what sorts of cannabis workers are you hearing from, and who do you hope to reach with this survey?
So the survey is for the specific sectors of retail, delivery, and cultivation. And we're also like leaving it open to like security and sales, because they're very much also at the forefront a lot of the time. Like brand ambassadors are just as much in shops and all over. Like, so their input has been like really interesting too, because it's very similar to the bartenders that are there throughout the day, you know, like that's their full-time job versus like someone who's like commuting throughout the day to do like patient appreciation days, like for these weird intervals of time. That's been really interesting to hear. Like, I thought I knew as a bartender what the brand ambassadors like through, but I really don't. Like, and yeah, this is really, it's been really cool to like have people like share their experiences, because, you know, for the most part, it's never been done on a large scale like this. So the fact that workers, like, I hope that like this like traction of people taking the survey and hearing from other people that they've taken it will lead to like, oh, like, what do you think about like it's sharing workplace concerns, like that's coming together, which is like what always needs to happen in a workplace, like, because the workers always outnumber like owners and managers. So workers should own the means of production, you know? That's what I hope.
Absolutely. And what are the incentives to folks for taking this survey? I see that there is a cash incentive in addition to helping improve working conditions for cannabis workers. There's another little perk.
To getting to share your story, you also get paid for your time, because we recognize that like your time is so valuable. Like, and so for about 45 minutes of your time, it's a $40 e-gift card. So I recently got a gift card through the same website for something else. And it worked out fine. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, it happens right away. It's really an easy process to redeem it. And we send it out like as soon as the survey is over. And that's cool. It's like an hour of your time for like, and you get $40. Like, sounds like pay you might not be getting elsewhere, you know? I think it's worth the time. And yeah, so it's $40. $40.
And 40 macaroons. Macaroons. Yeah. 40 clamshells, 40 big ones.
Mm-hmm.
40 Easter eggs. 40 nugs. So how can people take the survey? Like, do they go online? Do they go somewhere in person? I know the UCLA Labor Center is involved. Is there info on how folks can get involved?
Yes. So there is an Instagram for this project by the UCLA Labor Center. It's Cannabis Worker Collab. And yeah, so Cannabis Worker Collab, we have been shadow banned. So we need to get more followers. We're trying to get 500 followers. Spread the word online, because the survey can be done virtually. You can do it via Zoom, Google Meet, like via phone call or in person if you like, because I'm part of a like 23 person team across California of surveyors who are facilitating these surveys. So it's not something that you like doing yourself. We're asking the questions. And that way, you know, you get the experience of like sharing your experience too, because if you're just filling it out, like on a Google form, for example, or a version of that, you don't have that, you know, repartee to be like, oh, like this happened and I want to share. Or because all the surveyors are either like past or current cannabis workers or cannabis educators, I'm so resonating with everything I'm hearing. It's like, I'm not someone who's disconnected from what their experiences are, and it makes it like easier. I feel like it makes it easier for them to share too. And
Chicali Products is a Latina-owned CBD business that helps chingonas alleviate pain, reduce anxiety and stress, and help to settle down headaches and migraines, all with handmade CBD remedies. Their top three bestsellers are the CBD Corona Polisher, which is great for days when you're having a headache or a migraine, the CBD Mellow Out Tincture, which is aimed at relieving anxiety and stress, and the CBD Cana Canela Rub, which is a non-addictive remedy for severe pain. Chelly actually shared her story on how she first learned to make CBD remedies for her mother's diabetic nerve damage. And that story you can actually hear on Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, season one, when Chelly was a guest and had her own episode. So go ahead and follow Chelly, who is the main jefa and founder at Chicali Products. She identifies as an East LA Chicana queer bruja. Go ahead and follow her at Chicali Products for natural herbal remedies content. Go to chicaliproducts.com and enter code MALA at checkout to get free shipping on your next order, and use promo code MALA for free shipping and an exclusive goodie bag. Fantastic. And for those who are thinking about sharing their stories as cannabis workers, what does the UCLA Labor Center hope to do with all the data that gets collected about worker experiences? I don't know if you can see, because I have my Zoom blurred out, but Papas is just like in it. Excuse him. Excuse us.
We're hoping that like this information can be used on like an activist type level after the fact. Like we can go to these like community meetings, political meetings to say like, we've gotten the info on a large scale to know that cannabis workers aren't being like paid enough, or cannabis workers don't have steady enough schedules to be able to have a livelihood in an industry that's worth $40 billion. Why are the workers who are doing all of the labor being paid the least? Like, it makes no sense. Why is there no investment in the workers when the workers invest a lot of their time in learning about the plant, getting good at their job, and, you know, something that's going to last? Because this is not going anywhere. It's only going to change. And the workers should definitely be like compensated with more than weed, you know?
Is that a problem that you're seeing?
It's not so much like weed in lieu of a paycheck. It's like weed in lieu of like healthcare. Like it's like a pizza party. It's like a corporate version of a pizza party for them, you know? And it's like, it sucks because like, who doesn't love that? And that is part of the culture. Absolutely. Like there should always be free weed. Like that's just how it should be, you know? Yeah. But for the workers, it should be something more. Because they're the ones who are serving these communities of people. Like they interact with like hundreds of people a day. So like their impact is really big and they should be invested in as like true pioneers of like what the culture can become. So
absolutely.
Finally, from what I've been hearing, you know, it's like, it's pretty, you know, direct deposit type stuff. We love to hear it. All right. Great, great, great. Or cash, you know, but we still need to know more. Like we have had a little bit of like, it's been easy to do outreach with like shops you can find on Weed Maps, but it's been hard to find like unlicensed places and get kind of like that experience too, because that's what the survey is all about too. It's not just about like seeing how like the regulated spots are. We need to know the cannabis workers who are also in the industry in that way, because maybe that does happen more. What is your experience with illegal shops? Like there's definitely a few here in Bakersfield. Like that's my experience with it, but in LA there's just so many legal ones I don't even bother.
Well, there used to be a lot more. Like I used to have, before the pandemic, there used to be a couple little ones, little trap shops by my house. And when I would walk Papas, I would stop by the dispensary and all the other people are there with their dogs, you know, on their walk, because everyone's just coming from the neighborhood. But they all closed. They don't exist anymore. One will pop up randomly here and there and then it's gone. And one time I was like driving down, there was one on Pico across the street from St. Thomas. And I was like driving down and I saw all the bud tenders in handcuffs out front. And I had just been there. I had just been there that week and I'm like, probably would have gone like, you know, like, and so in that moment, I also felt like, God, I even just for me, just to avoid the potential of being caught up in something like that, like I'm not trying to get arrested for going to the dispensary. I'm just not like, so I go, well, with the podcast and with everything that I do now, luckily there's like a lot of free weed. So like, I don't buy as much weed as I used to,
right?
You know, but if I want to buy weed, I end up going to like a legal dispensary. Cause I'm just like, I just don't want to get caught up just getting a gram.
Literally.
Because, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like you're not exaggerating. Like in those situations, like the customers are getting arrested too for just being there, you know? So it should not be criminalized like this. It should not be criminalized like this. Like, at the shop that I was working at, which I won't say, I had heard before I had worked there, I heard about a story where like they had been raided, and that was a legal shop. they had been raided still. And there was a woman there who was like pregnant, and they didn't care. And that woman still came to the shop because she had like such camaraderie with them after the fact. I guess I want to say trauma bond, but it's also like the workers there were really like trying to be on like for her. They were very much about her, like, get her out of there, like don't put her, you know, like all that stuff. So she kept coming back until it just became too expensive. That's what sucks. Like, how is it that these workers are building like such beautiful connections with their communities, and it can be broken because of like this overregulated capitalists, you know, the way it's going? We don't know. We need the data.
Totally. 100%. I completely agree. So this, for all of these reasons, you know, cannabis is becoming more legalized, but not necessarily more decriminalized.
Literally.
Not necessarily less criminalized, but more legalized. More, it's becoming, you know, more mainstream and more retail, you know, and capitalist. And it's getting legalized throughout the country in different states. And even in California, like county by county, not everywhere is weed friendly, but as these things increase, yeah, these labor issues are important, right? Like as it expands.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm right now at Bakersfield, Kern County. I was living here 2016, 2017, when they literally banned commercial cannabis. So it's like the city of Bakersfield, like there were a lot of shops on like a downtown little area, like just off of a downtown. And there were white people that owned those shops. I was a taxi driver at the time. And like, I literally was driving this guy who his life fell apart. He was a white man. And I was like, I thought y'all cared about those people here. Like he lost his life because they criminalized his shop like that. And it's so weird still, because like in Bakersfield where I'm at, it's like, right, it's past the city limit. So it's like version of like an unincorporated part of LA. Like it's unincorporated part of Bakersfield, which is why the shops here exist, but they're still illegal. Like police could do a raid if they wanted to, absolutely. But they, you know, it's like pick and choose for them. And there are definitely parts of like Northern California that are, you know, the same people who would want to separate California into three states type of people, you know? So we want to get the input though, because the workers there, it's a little bit like, it's very bootstrappy. And it's like, do you not see though that you're still being exploited? Like, so I'm trying to get info for, I would love to know more about like the people in that area, but you know, this is all, you know, voluntary also. So when people are like, I don't want to do the survey, then we don't push, you know, we're not like, okay, what you should though, because like, it's so important. But I want to say that so bad, but we had a whole training and it's that whole thing. Like we are trying to do ethical research here. And because of that, like it's all voluntary. And if you want, and if you do, then you get the $40 gift card and that's good for you. But I want what's best for you, which is like, and like cannabis can be so much more for its workers. And it's choosing not to, so that it can be the same thing we've always done. And it's like, why? Why? Cannabis has always been innovative. It's always been the pioneer. So it's like, why are we going to treat it like, I don't know, like bull crap? Why?
Exactly.
She doesn't deserve that.
She deserves so much more. She gives us so much. She deserves more.
Yes, literally.
So Madison Hernandez, thank you so much for stopping by Marihuanera, a podcast for podheads. This has been most illuminating. And I hope that my listeners reach out. And where can they reach out again to keep up with you and to take the survey?
So on Instagram, Cannabis Worker Collab, the screening form to take the survey is the link in the bio for that Instagram. The screening form is a short 4-question thing to make sure you're a cannabis worker in California, to make sure that you're over 21, to make sure that you're in those specific sectors that we talked about, retail, delivery, cultivation, or security and sales. And if you have the power to hire, fire. We're trying to get the people who don't have managerial positions, because we want to get, because their experience might be a little biased. those are the screening questions, to be full transparent. But if you qualify from there, a surveyor like myself or one of the other 25 people will reach out to you and via mostly call or email, and then we'll schedule a time for the survey. Cannabis Worker Collab on Instagram. Madison Hernandez. I am Madison Hernandez on Instagram. The survey screening form is also in my bio. Thank you so much for having me. Long time listener, big time fan. Love to see it. Yes, she can. Honestly, I love to see her. It hits me like the loving out loud. She deserves her roses, her flowers. We love to see it. Thank you so much. I love it. It's been
thank you. I appreciate you so much. You're killing it. You bring a smile to my face and to the faces of many. And I just hope to be able to do the same in return.
Oh, you absolutely do. You absolutely do. I wish you the most beautiful day and a cannabis-filled life. Yes.
Yes. Blessings. Blessings and bendiciones. Love it. Thank you once again for stopping by the podcast. And this concludes our interview. Let me stop.